Good morning. Glad you're here with us this morning. Next week is Palm Sunday. Can you believe it? Man, that sounded like Jesse Edmondson, didn't it? Miss old Jesse. Golly. If you are visiting with us this morning, there's a blue card in the seat in front of you. I invite you to fill that out. We're not going to, you know, force you to fill it out, but we would certainly like to know that you were here and have worshiped with us this morning. There's a box on there. If you would like to be included in our email correspondence, you can give us your email and check that box there. So I invite you to do that. I'm glad that everyone is here with us this morning. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You know, I don't know if you have a Bible with the red print. I love the Bibles with the red print because it highlights the fact that these are the words of Christ. So these are not my words this morning. They're not just some generic something or other that somebody wrote down. These are the words of Christ. We pick it up in Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. I think I might want to read that again. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now listen to this, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We just sang those words, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and to speak this morning to us in power and authority. May they be your words. May you transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I am concluding, please no applause, I'm concluding the sermon series, Weathering the Storm. Everybody loves that when I say concluding. That's almost as good as saying, my final point is... It ranks right up there, pretty close. Weathering the storm. Today, the seduction of stuff. Anybody got any stuff? If you've moved recently, don't you realize, where did this stuff come from? It multiplies. Our stuff multiplies. And it's something I'm figuring out. The older I get, the more I'm beginning to realize that everything that we acquire in stuff requires maintenance of the stuff. Have you ever noticed that? We want this and we get that, and then it's like, we got to take care of it and deal with it and find a place for it and all that kind of stuff. As if you have been in this church for very long at all, you know, does anybody have a needle and thread this morning? What do I want to do with it this morning? Come on, Jody, tell me. I want to sew my head right here to the carpet. You ever seen that? And I got plenty of skin to work with. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to know that I preach on money every other week. No, I'm just kidding. For me, and I'm not calling myself Superman, but it's like kryptonite to Superman when I start dealing with stewardship. And I want to tell you why that is for me. Just this past week, anybody ever heard of Creflo Dollar? Creflo Dollar. He is a pastor out of Atlanta, and his theology is the gospel of blessing. What do they call it? Prosperity gospel. That if you give to God, he's gonna just abundantly give it back to you. You know, you give $100, you're going to get $500 in the mail, that kind of a theology. Well, Creflo Dollar, just a week ago, he put on his website that he needed, he was trusting God for $65 million for a private jet for him and his wife and the staff to be able to do ministry in the world. And I would like to tell Mr. Dollar, Pastor Dollar, they make commercial airlines. We got a little bitty airport right out here east of town. But he's trusting in the Lord to bring him $65 million for his private jet. Well, after the outrage that web post began to generate, it only stayed up a few days and it was taken down. Back about 30 years ago, this is one of my favorites, Oral Roberts, and I'm not, you know, these guys, you know, I'm not saying they're, Oral Roberts has passed away, but I'm not saying they're good guys or not good guys. I'm just saying this is what gives the discussion of stewardship, and I just don't like to do it because of this. But Oral Roberts, pastor out of Oklahoma, he claimed, on one occasion he claimed that he had a vision of a 900-foot Jesus that told him he needed to raise this money for this and that. And then on another occasion he said he needed to raise $8 million by such and such date, just a few months down the road, or God would call him home. Now, let's analyze that for a second. Basically, he was saying, give or I'm going to die. So that's my message to you this morning. And if I said that, you know what? Y'all would be like, you'd put a padlock on your wallet. Give or Pastor Jeff's going to die. It's like, yeah. So I'm not going to go there. We as preachers, we give this issue of stewardship a bad name. It's not about those things at all. It's not about raising money. It's not about budgets. I want to start out this morning by asking you this question. I'm going to ask this of you a few times this morning, and here's the question. You don't have to answer out loud, but I want the Lord to begin to percolate inside of you. This question: Can we be a mature Christian and not be a generous giver? That's still on, right? I want you to ask yourself that question. I'm not giving you the answer. You and God will have to work that out. Can we be a mature Christian and not be a generous giver? Now, I want to list four things, first of all, that are the wrong motives to give. The wrong motives to give. As a duty or obligation, don't give. Don't put anything in the plate if that's your heart. Out of habit. Some of us just kind of, and that's not a bad thing, you know, that we were raised to just know you just put money in the plate. You put your 10% in the plate. But if we're only giving out of that habit, if we're not understanding the bigger picture of this, it's not a good reason to give. Peer pressure. And this is funny. We actually have the means in our website. If any of y'all want to be able to give electronically, you can set up an electronic giving where you don't ever have to mess with it again. You set it up and it just takes care of it, whatever you set it up, so much a week, so much a month, or whatever, and it just takes care of it. And I've actually had people and I'm not, if you've come to me with this, I'm not downing you or anything, but it's kind of funny because it's like, you know, I give electronically, and it's like, when the plate passes every Sunday, I feel kind of guilty because nobody ever sees me put anything in the plate. If that's you this morning, I got an idea for you. Just take one of our little envelopes and write on it, I give electronically, and put it into play. It's kind of a brain, you know, sometimes my brain comes up with these brilliant ideas. I can't help myself. But don't give out of peer pressure because what someone will or won't think of you, it's the wrong motive. Feeling of guilt or God's judgment if you don't give, that's another wrong motive to give. Now, I want to tell you, I and the Holy Spirit, I hope that we challenge you this morning, and I hope that you are convicted this morning. I pray, I've been praying for it with all my heart that there would be conviction. But as I talk through this topic, please do not hear guilt or shame from me if you're not a giver, if you've not been a giver. Please do not hear that, because that is not my heart at all, and it's not the heart of God. That is not the right motive to give. So I'm going to come at this in two different ways. The first, and I'm going to hit this pretty quickly, but I think you need to know there's a practical and a spiritual way to come at this. I normally come at it strictly from the spiritual standpoint, but I want to give you some practical reasons to give and some practical information before I get into the biblical and the spiritual aspect of giving. First of all, did you know that Jesus spoke of giving more than any other topic except the kingdom of God? Dramatically more. More than heaven, more than sin, more than what's some other topic? More than any other topic, more than grace. He spoke of the kingdom of God was the primary thing he spoke of, and giving was right behind it. We just read this passage out of Matthew that Jesus was speaking about giving. Did you know that there's 2,350 verses in the Bible dealing with money, dealing with giving? You think God maybe realizes that that's kind of a bottleneck for us? That's a little bit of a struggle, a stronghold in our lives, our stuff. Over 2,300 verses in the Bible dealing with money. And here's the practical statement. Are you ready? Effective ministry costs money. It just does. Here's a few. If you are financially faithful to this church, here's some things you have made possible. Everybody look down at the chair that you're sitting in. If you're financially faithful, you have made that chair appear in the sanctuary. We have given vehicles for families in need that couldn't afford vehicles, that needed vehicles to get the job. That comes from your financial faithfulness. It doesn't just, we're not tapped into the government. We're not a nonprofit that's like, you know, these different funds that just kind of like, hey man, the church, you know, they need, let's give them $500,000. It's because of your faithfulness. Heating and air conditioning. When we come in, I know some of you are like, somebody need to be paying the heat bill these last few weeks. That's another topic. If you're sitting under a vent, you're too hot, or if you're not sitting under a vent, you're too cold, so it's really difficult to do. But the fact that we have any heat and any air comes from your financial faithfulness. We have built 4 new homes for the poor and homeless. Those things don't just happen. It's from your financial faithfulness. I remember standing right here in this pulpit, it's been about 10 years ago, and told you about Granny. Anybody remember Granny? We went to replace a floor in Granny's bathroom, and that was the most horrible home I've ever stepped foot in. It was just awful, and we realized right away, she doesn't need a new floor in her bathroom, she needs a house. So I came to this church and I said, Granny needs a house. Nobody knew. Who's Granny? She was about this tall. She was 90 years old. Nobody knew her, but I showed a picture of Granny, and we raised $6,000 that one Sunday for Granny's house. Granny had a house the last 3 years of her life because of your faithfulness. It didn't magically appear. We've built 4 new houses. We've remodeled numerous houses. We've given, I've calculated it, we've over 1,200 turkeys have been distributed to the Carver neighborhood since 2007. We didn't go to the store and say, hey, man, we need 1,200 turkeys. They said, that'll be 99 cents a pound. That's what they said. St. John's, you can look in your bulletin. If you look in your bulletin, I'm not going to list all of these because they're right there for you. We list them because I want you to understand what's happening when we take that offering, what's happening. By the way, a side note, every Every financial number we have is available to you or anybody that walks up off the street, except for personal givings. There's, I think, three people in our church that know what individuals give or don't give. But as far as what we spend our money on and how much we take in totals, anyone can see those numbers at any time. Just let me or Naomi, our bookkeeper, just let us know. And we'll give you any report that you want to know. But these things are monthly. Now, I calculated St. John's Baptist Church. I went to St. John's Baptist Church. If you're newer to our church, it's a small church in a very poor neighborhood, primarily a black church. And I went over the pastor and our staff. We've become friends, and we've come alongside them and built homes, and that's where we pass out our turkeys and so on and so forth. And I went to, he and I swapped pulpits several years ago. And I went to his church, and Cheryl is our, she's our money person. She puts our offering in. She handles it. I don't ever even deal with it. And so I don't even think about it. And I'm over there, and they go to pass the plate. And I'm like, oh, you know, I just wasn't ready. And so I pulled out my wallet, and I grabbed a $20 bill, and I just stuck it in the plate. Over there, they count the offering, and they come back during the service and go, we collected so much. And I have known them to pass the plate again, by the way. I love it, man. I love it. So if the ushers would come forward this morning, I'm just kidding. They took the offering. I put my 20 in. They counted the money. They came up and said, we want to praise God this morning. We collect $41.29. And I'm doing the math in my head, and I'm not very smart, but I said, almost half of that's mine. And so I asked the pastor after church, I said, dude, how do you pay your electric bill? How do you get a salary? How does anything happen in ministry here? Because they also serve a meal over there once a week to the neighborhood, people that are on the street and so forth. And I said, how does any of that happen? He said, well, I don't get a salary, number one. And he said, we managed to get our electricity bill paid. And he said, the food each week comes out of our people's pockets that serve the meal. And I'm like, man, these people didn't have any money. And yet they're preparing food for these. And so I came back to our finance committee and I told them that story. And I said, guys, it's y'all's decision, but we need to come alongside this church. And I gave a recommendation of what I thought needed to happen, including helping that pastor with a little bit of salary and helping them pay for the food for that meal. And that was, I think that was around 2007, something around in there. And we've been giving $650 a month to that church for roughly 8 years. And I total that's, we've given over $62,000 to that little church. You did that. I didn't do that. You did that. It's a practical thing. And as the Love and Care Ministries and the Methodist Food Pantry, and we support missionaries overseas, three different missionaries. We've had four, but one moved back to the States a year or so ago. The fact that you can hear me through a sound system this morning, that things, practical things. Care Fund, I want to talk a second about our Care Fund. We have people coming to our office weekly, most of the time daily. And Pat, is Pat here? Hi, Pat. Pat's my, she's my buffer. She's the bouncer at the door, okay? You seen the guns on that girl, man? And Pat, man, God bless her, she takes care of us. And she can tell these people are working us. They're just working us. Or these people are desperate. And sometimes the desperateness comes right here within our church. And sometimes it comes from people we've never seen in our life. But we give a tremendous, we've paid house payments, we've utility bills, food, doctor bills, counseling, on and on and on, as I told you earlier, vehicles for families and so forth. That happens because of your faithfulness. And I'm sitting here, what's coming to my heart is, how much more can we do if all of us were faithful? I know I'm kind of getting personal, I had Naomi, again, my bookkeeper, I've had Naomi run. I became pastor here in September of 2002, and so I said, would you go back and see the money we have brought in, total money we've brought in since September 2002, through the end of 2014. That's when I had to run it, December 14. I said, would you total up all the money we've brought in and all the money we've given out for care and benevolent giving, where we've helped people? And let's see how we're doing. She ran those numbers. We have brought in $6.2 million, I'm rounding. We've brought in $6.2 million in those 12 years, 3 months. And we've given out in benevolent giving $1.2 million. That's 19% of what comes in goes out to help people. Give yourself a hand, church. Is that good? I'm so blessed by that we are a giving church. Yes, we have practical needs. We have salaries, and we have building upkeep, and we have electricity, and so on and so forth. But we have not forgotten that God said to love your neighbor. 19% goes out the door. I want to talk a second about the capital fund drive. Some of you are going, the what? I realize, don't get me started on that. I have no idea. It's like communicating to a church is like herding cats. I'm not kidding you. It's crazy. Because you get it all communicated really well. This morning I'm going over all this stuff, and I guarantee you next week it'll be somebody that wasn't here will be going, what? Capital Fund Drive? What's that? It's just like herding cats. But we 3 years ago, the 3 years will be up in May, we launched a $600,000 capital fund drive. And that drive was to, had things that we wanted to accomplish. Number one, we wanted to pay off all our debt, be debt free. We wanted to acquire some property for possible future relocation if the Lord leads us in that direction. And then we wanted to provide a home for a man named Russell who had been living for 3 years out of his van. We wanted to provide a home for him, and we wanted to do some upgrades to this facility. Here's what's happened with from that drive. We've paid off we are debt-free, church. We are debt-free, church. And when you are debt-free, yes, when you are debt-free, it opens up more windows for you to do ministry. That 19%, I'd like to see that 19% that goes out, but benevolent giving, I'd like to see it go up. We've provided Russell a house. Russell lived in this house that we provided for him through various. We had a family that actually gave the house, and then we had many that remodeled it and put some money into it to get it ready for Russell. Russell got out of his van and was in that home a year, and he had a stroke. And we have since sold the house. Russell could not return, but he had a year. He went through a winter in a summer where he was warm and he was cool. And he also felt the love of Christ through the people of Wiley United Methodist Church. So we paid off our debt. We provided Russell a home. We've purchased 10 and a half acres on Buffalo Gap Road. If you know where Mesa Springs Retirement System is, we are just south of that. There's 10 acres there that we have purchased for future consideration. Look down at the carpet. The carpet we had in here was, 35 years old, something like that. It was old. And we just had this done a few months ago. Soon to be, and Billy is, I know I'll get an amen out of Billy on this, soon to be new ACs throughout the building. Y'all don't realize it, but during the summer when we're in those 100-degree days, many times you come into church and Billy's been up on the roof resetting units so you could be cool. Brother, I love you, and I appreciate you doing that. But those units, we've been baling wiring them and duct taping them together. They're about 35 years old, and we will soon have new units here in the next few weeks. We had someone who gave us a matching grant. You may remember the email about that two or three weeks ago where I said we had someone who was going to do a matching grant. This person, we had about $35,000 left in the capital fund drive. This person went ahead, and it was just that money was burning a hole in their pocket, and they just said, match or no match, I'm going to give my half. So So that's already come in. But that doesn't let us off the hook. There's $16,000 remaining to complete that capital fund drive. I'm counting on God to do that. So lots and lots of practical things that our financial faithfulness accomplishes. Now, I want to shift gears into the spiritual aspect. And this is really where the rubber meets the road. I'm kind of getting some things out of order that I put, but I just feel like I'm supposed to kind of say this now. I want to say again, don't receive anything that I say this morning as guilt or shame on you. I do hope that the Lord convicts us. But I just went through some, it's funny, you ever seen one of the homeless folks on the side with the signs on the corner, and they'll, go work for food, I need, it's like, and then you drive by and they whoop out their iPhone. Now, many times Cheryl and I try to help those folks out, and I'm just saying that in our culture, we see an iPhone or a cell phone as a necessity. We see many things as necessities. So I just kind of did some math. I just wanted to kind of see what me and all of us in our culture, what we spend our money on. Cell phone, I figured if a family, this is probably conservative, and if you're a single person, these numbers may be a little lower, but if you're a family of, say, four people, even in many cases two people, I figured a cell phone, your cell phone bill is at least $150 a month. That's $1,800 a year. So as I name these numbers, I want you to think a minute. Cell phone, God. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. Okay, now I'm talking to myself here too, church. Cable TV. I figure if you've got cable dish network, any of those, DirecTV, any of those kinds of things, I figure you're paying, $100 bucks a month. It's $1,200 bucks a year. Now, if you're a member of the country club, which I'm not. If anybody wants to buy me a membership in Country Club, I'm open to that. Country Club dues, I think this is low. $200 a month, that's probably low. That's $2,400 a year. Now, this is getting really simple. Our family, we're cheapskates. We go out to eat, and every one of us, we order water. Anybody, any other water people in the house? Let's hear it for the water people in the house. If you buy a tea or a soft drink, and you do that five times a week. Did you know that it's like $2 a pop? How much is it? My wife loves this. How much does it cost to make a glass of tea, Cheryl? 2 cents? Probably a whole pitcher for a nickel. We pay $2 for a glass of tea. If you do that five times a week, that's $5,200 a year for a glass of tea or a soft drink. Again, please don't hear guilt or shame. I just want the Lord. I'm sorry. That's 500. I looked down. 520. I got down a line. 520. 520. I know some of you math nerds were like. Jody, I know you were back there cussing me, man. I know it. All right, $520 a year. If we eat out, now this can, again, our family, we're cheapskates. Cheryl and I, we do Taco Bell for, $7 between the two of us. But that's not normal because we're not normal. But if you eat out and you got to say a family of four, and this is really, really a cheap eating out, but $20. If you do that five times a week, that's $5,200, right? $5,200. The T's $520. Cut me a break, man. Now here we go. Here we go. Listen to this one. We got any Starbucks people in the house? Let me hear it for the Starbucks people. Everybody's like, I ain't raising my hand. Oh, come on now. Man, I tell you what, I wish I'd invented that goofy thing to do. Get some water and throw a little color in it and some foam, and here, that's $5. Why didn't I think of that? $4 is probably a rather inexpensive drink at Starbucks. If you, and I know people's like, I got to help my Starbucks on the way to work every morning. $4, five times a week, 52, that's $1,040 a year. You add all those things up, that's $9,460 a year in those little things. Now, you may not do all of those things, but I'll be willing to bet that we all do at least half of them. Well, that's $5,000 a year, over $5,000 a year. Now, here's the question is, does God get $5,000 a year from us? Ooh, a hush falls on the crowd. Please don't hear shame, but I hope the Holy Spirit is nailing us right between the eyes. God has given us ministry to do, church. Do you know that? He's given us ministry to do, and I don't want a private jet. I really don't. I'm not even going to ask what that was. But he's given us ministry to do. Are we doing it? Okay, spiritual reasons to give. We give because Jesus is our Lord. And that's one way we worship him. The wise men, Jesus hadn't done anything for them. He's this little baby for crying out loud in the manger. And the wise men are seeking him. And when they found him, what did they do? They knelt down before him and they just distributed this all their stuff. They said, here, you're the King of Kings. Here, this is what we have to give you. He was Lord, and they worshiped him. Can we be a mature Christian and not be a generous giver? Second thing, we give because it's not our stuff. It belongs to God. It's just not our stuff. The essence is, as they said in the movie, Houston, we have a problem. And the problem is this. The problem is we see it that this is our stuff. That we're the owner. And I work hard all day, it's mine. And whatever's left at the end of the month, the trinkets, I might consider giving some of that to God. No, it's all his anyway. He lets us keep 90% of it. What an awesome God we have. One of the first words that we learn as children is mine. And we learn it good, don't we, church? Mine. Another kid wants that toy. We got these two goofy dogs at the house. And we give them these little rawhides to chew on. And it doesn't matter. You give them the brand new. They're both the same. We throw those out there and they go get them. It's like, we got this one. It's like, I don't want that one. I want that one. That one's chewing on. I want that rawhide. So even the goofy dogs. Mine. Everything belongs to God. The scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Did you know you are the Lord's? Your life belongs to him. The only thing is he lets us choose whether or not we're going to give it to him, whether we're going to surrender it to him. He doesn't force that on. He doesn't force us to give financially. He has given us a directive to tithe. Can we be a mature Christian and not be a generous giver? The third thing, we give because our heart belongs to God. Our heart belongs to God. And I love the passage in Mark 12 where I can picture this. It's like Jesus is sitting there, people are walking by and they're putting their offering into the offertory. And it says Jesus is watching these, and I can just see these rich people that are proud, and they may, who knows what they were giving, but I can just see them going, look at what I'm putting in, Jesus. And they pull out this big gift and they lay it in the offering. And then they walk by and made sure everybody saw it. And Jesus is sitting there watching and he's not impressed. And then the little widow lady comes by with two little coins. But it's everything she has. God didn't have 10% of her heart. He had all of her heart. She put in everything she had. And Jesus said, "Now that impresses me." Because she put in everything that she had. Her heart belongs totally to me. It's not your wallet God wants, it's your heart. But until, here's the truth, until he has your wallet, he doesn't have your total heart. Now, I'm not suggesting we give everything we have. God's not asking that of us. Until he gets our wallet, until we surrender that piece of us to him, he doesn't fully have our heart. Can we be a mature Christian and not be a generous giver? Fourth thing, we give because God is a giver. And we are called to be like him. God gave everything. I want you to think about what God gave. Jesus was not drug, kicking, and screaming to the cross. He freely surrendered himself to the cross. God planned it. God orchestrated it. It was his divine, eternal plan. He's a giver. He gave everything for you and I. And he's calling us to be like him. Dave Ramsey, most of you know about Dave Ramsey. He's a financial, spiritual financial kind of guru guy. And there's classes, financial peace and some other classes that he teaches. But Dave Ramsey says this, giving makes us more Christ-like. You can't claim that you are a spiritually mature Christian when you're not giving. But a spiritually mature Christian is by definition Christ-like, who by definition is a giver. When we learn how to be a giver, we are becoming what God has designed us to be. Can we be a mature Christian and not be a generous giver? You know, the scripture today, this Matthew 6 scripture, these are Jesus' words. I always get kickback from these sermons. I fully anticipate. Some of you are probably mad at me right now, and in all honesty, I'm not trying to be trite with you, but I'd rather you be mad at me than God. Okay? But Jesus, his words, he's clearly saying that there is a winner between the God and the money battle. There's always a winner. Our stuff. Does the Savior have control of our life or our stuff? Savior and stuff. Jesus is saying, there's a winner. There's always a winner. No one can serve two masters. So here's what I, you know, if you want to know where your treasure is, we all know, as I'm talking, we all know where our treasure is, every one of us. But if you want further evidence, go home and get out your checkbook and your credit card statement. That reveals our treasure really quickly. It reveals to us the things we honor and value in our life. Here's my challenge to us. It's a short-term challenge. Sometimes when I preach a sermon, I usually, you know, somebody puts a gun to my head and said, you need to preach that sermon on stewardship, you know. And so when I do that once a year or so, I usually have a covenant card. And that, you know, we don't do anything with that covenant card. It will key it into your account so that you, when we send out statements, year-end statements or quarterly statements, you know it's like I pledged so much and I've given so much. It's for your benefit. It's not for ours. We don't do anything. We don't budget by that. We don't do anything with it. So I'm not even going to ask that of you. Here's what I'm going to ask of you. And this may be bold for some of you. Listen to this scripture before I give you the challenge. This is what God says. Bring the whole tithe. Now, tithe, because there's 2,350 scriptures on money in the Bible, so I could read a lot of scriptures to you, but it's there, trust me. A tithe is 10%. He says, bring the whole tithe. It doesn't say bring part of the tithe. If you look up, go ahead and Google tithe when you get home, it's 10%. It's a 10% gift. bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is God speaking. That there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Where else in Scripture does God tell us to test him? He says, bring the whole tithe and watch what I do. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, that prosperity gospel says, oh, well, if I give this, you know, X amount, you know, I'm going to get 5 times or 10 times more back. It's just going to show up in the mail. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, God will bless you, and he will meet your needs. He will meet your needs. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. So here's my challenge to you. Some of us are tithers. And I, as I read and study about this, I've come to this conclusion is that's not the finish line for us. And this is going to be radical for some of you. We reach that 10%. If we're a tither, we're like, yeah, I'm a tither, man. God's calling you to be a generous giver. And I'm just going to tell you, and this is not bragging, but you need to know, because you need to know, your pastor's a tither. And Cheryl and I were talking this weekend, and I was like, but God is calling us to even be more generous. If you're a tither, pray God that God would show you if he wants more. And I was really convicted as I started to add up cell phones and cable bills and tea and Starbucks and so on and so forth. I was convicted. Man, I give several thousand dollars for my cable TV. Maybe perhaps we give a lot more to that than we do to God. So the challenge is, if you're not a tither, I challenge you to tithe for 2 months. And I'm not, this is God's word, testing. April and May. I challenge you. Off the top, what we do is we do all this stuff, all the fun stuff, all the stuff that we want to do, and then it's like, well, I got 20 bucks I can toss in there. No, God says, in another place, he says, bring me the first fruits. First fruits. So if you make $2,000 a month for 2 months, trust God and give $200. That's 10%, right, Jody? Look at me. Give him $200 for April and May. See what the Lord does with that. See if you can still pay your bills. And I would further challenge you, if he's faithful for 2 months, then try it 2 more. If you're a tither, I encourage you to pray that, Lord, is this it? I mean, am I there? Is this what you would have? Is this the faithfulness you would have me show financially? Or is there more? Just, if you'll just bow your heads with me for a minute. Lord, I guess I don't know the hearts of anybody else. I know my heart, and I just want to ask your forgiveness, Lord, because in all honesty, if I had to give up my cable TV, I'm not sure that you'd win right now. Convict me, Lord. Show me where you rate in my life. Show me how you would have me be faithful. Forgive me and any of us, Lord, when we have a piece of us that we have not given to you, whether it's our finances or our marriage or our career or our children, relationships, friendships. Father, you want to be Lord of every aspect of our lives. And we struggle, God, with stuff. We confess that to you. We struggle with stuff. Forgive us. Show us what you'd have us do, God. Bless the gifts that come into this ministry, God, that we would not misspend one penny. Help us to be about your business, and may your kingdom come through Wiley Methodist Church. In Jesus' name, amen. If our praise team will come forward. I want to start something new this week that I'm going to just kind of try to announce on a regular basis. If you ever want to know more about our church or about Jesus or any of those things, I'm going to make myself available every Sunday that I can. I'm going to make myself available after church. If you want to know more about community groups or Sunday school classes or just anything, children's ministries, any of those kinds of things, come and seek me out, and I'm going to try to make myself available every week for that. Let's stand as we close this morning. If Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, I encourage you to make that commitment this morning as well.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. All my inmost being praises.
Treasure is there, your heart is also. Go and treasure Jesus. Go and tell someone. Thank you.
speak.